I am your session chair. My name is Al-Haddad Kamal. I am from the University of Quebec, École de Technologie Supérieure, the red signal, the red on the poster there. So I'd like to welcome you. Would like to thank also Loic, the conference chair. I am helping him very little, but he is the guy who organized everything. So thank you very much, Loic, for this excellent conference organization. Today is the second longest day of the conference, as you know, so we have very busy schedule from this morning probably till 10 p.m., including the banquet and all the activities that we have. So please take your time and enjoy the long and very interesting conference day. So I will start with our first speaker this morning. First speaker is Mr. Jocelyn Lefebvre. Jocelyn is a mechanical engineer. He graduated from one of the best Canadian school, École de Technologie Supérieure, and he is the electromobility project initiator. He is the CEO and CTO with 12 years of experience in public transportations, mainly transit buses. He is involved in many private and governmental agency projects related to electrification and transportation. So let us welcome Mr. Jocelyn.
So, good morning, everyone. Without losing a second, I'll go to this slide. Isn't it nice? Full electric bus running on the snow, charging at high power. 5 years ago, it was a dream. Now it's a reality. Through this presentation, I would like to introduce you to the company, the project we have, and the product itself, the challenges of electromobility. By the way, electromobility is I think, invented by Volvo. It's basically to tell the project of electrification of vehicle through Volvo. Who we are? Volvo is a very big family, a strong family. It comprises, for example, Mack trucks, Renault trucks, Volvo trucks, Volvo Penta, Volvo buses, which we are part of. There's more than 100,000 people working for Volvo AB. There is a presence in 19 countries, and we are selling to more than 100 markets worldwide. So, of course, you understand there's large capabilities, there's a lot of engineering resources, which we're very proud of. Within VBC, which means Volvo Bus, we are Volvo Bus North America. So, in there, you would have Novo Bus, which I work for, and Prevo, which has the business of coaches. You would find also under the Volvo bus umbrella several locations like Brazil, Mexico, Europe, China, India, and South Africa. So we have a global presence. In North America, where basically our headquarters is located in Saint-Eustache. This is where engineering of Nova sits. Also, we have the chassis or frame built in Saint-François-du-Lac, which is near Quebec City. We have also Prevost and Nova presence in Plattsburgh, New York, where we assemble buses for the U.S. market. We also have the large facility in St. Clair, near Quebec, where the coaches are assembled. And through the entire North America, we have service center and parts distribution through Prevost Parts. I have to tell you the corporate core values because they are very important to Volvo. The safety is a big concern. And when we are talking about electric vehicle, safety becomes a real concern. So I'm really glad that we are developing this technology through a company that has a lot of care for safety. As we know, quality is very important within Volvo, and also care for environment is a strong value. Why electromobility? I think this is a trend within all the industries, but especially at Volvo. You could see here that our development has reached many countries, and so far there's more than 3,000 hybrids and starting full electric vehicles worldwide. It started everywhere, but China was kind of leading the path a long time ago. In China itself, Volvo, through Sunwin, has more than 12 year experience on using full electric buses. The strategy within Volvo is pretty easy to understand. Buses are running near people. They're in cities. They're downtown in cities where the impact of noise and emission could be seen and felt. So that's why Volvo decided to start the program with electrification of buses. So, for example, it is easy to understand when we look at the data. When you have an hybrid, you are almost reducing the emission by 39 or 40%. That has a big, big impact if you switch to electric hybrid. Commonly said as a plug-in hybrid, where you could, let's say, take opportunity charge through the route, and at depot, you can reduce up to 75%. But the future is clearly seen here when you can reduce the emission by 100%. And we are there, readiness 2016. So it's at our doors. Some of the challenges, I would say we're facing all these challenges, but this is maybe the most important things that we have considered developing for full electric buses. The range. A lot of people are saying we need to go the distance. We need to make sure that a bus can travel 100 to 400 kilometers a day. That's correct, but there are several options in order to meet the range. Maximize bus operation. The recharge time is quite important here. Minimize the effect on the load on the grid structure when you try to recharge a lot of buses at the same time, that's imposing a lot of challenge to the grid structure. Vehicle weight. We want to carry passengers, not batteries. Battery costs. Cost is the most important thing on public transit. Of course, batteries might be the most important factor in bus cost. High daily usage. We need to keep in mind a bus is used maybe up to 85% of the time compared to a car, which is used only 8% of the time. So we cannot compare cars with buses. It's two different worlds. One of the specific aspects I would like to go further in this presentation is the charging strategy. And we have worked hard on that, and we're very proud of our success on that and our technical solution. I would say, what if you have a battery that has no limiting factor, could provide 400 kilometers of range, could charge in 5 minutes, and has the same energy content as a fuel tank? We know, in order to get the same amount of energy, the weight of a battery is 40 times more than a fuel tank. So we cannot carry the exact same amount of energy compared to fuel tank. So how do we address that? How much power? That's the question. How much power we can supply to charge? So even if the battery would allow refueling as quickly as a diesel, we still need an infrastructure able to provide the needed power. The solution, we need to distribute the power over time. How do we achieve that? That's two scenarios. Scenario one, you have a bus running on a complete charge through the entire day. And then at night, you go 4 to 8 hours to recharge it. Scenario two, you drive for most of the routes are within an hour and within range of 10, 12 kilometers. So why don't we take opportunity of charging in between these routes? And this is the way we went. Going to calculation, for example, if you go to this scenario, let's say we have a, I would say, quite realistic example here. We have a fleet, a small fleet of 100 buses. We need, in fact, to run the buses for 24 hours. We cover a distance of about 300 kilometers. We have 20 high-power chargers installed on the cities, in the cities. And then if we don't have high-power charger, we use, let's say, 100 LPC, low-power chargers, at the depot. What kind of power and energy that we would require? The energy requirement, no matter what, how you recharge, is the same. A bus, a single bus, would require about 400 kilowatt hour to cover a distance of 300 kilometers. If you transpose that to a complete fleet of 100 vehicles, that's the amount of energy we need to deliver daily. Big challenge. And maybe I need to tell you that some large city, they don't have only 100 buses. They have more than thousands of vehicles. So keep in mind the logic behind. The recharge power required, if you go low power, I would assume it takes 100 kilowatt to recharge within 4 hours. If we use HPC, and would like to recharge in 6 minutes, you would require a charger around 350 kilowatts. The total kilowatts of power you would need for a fleet, 10,000 kilowatts that you need at the same time. If you go with opportunity charging, this amount is reduced by 7,000. The average power remains 10,000 for the low charge, but if you go high power and you spread it through the entire hour, you have an average of 2,000. So there's a factor of 5 here. So very interesting. Next thing. If you charge at depot, you have everything centralized into one location. That's a huge challenge to provide that amount of power. If you start deploying the chargers to the city, then it's easier to adapt to the demand of charging. Our solution then, and through experience, we have gone through a fast recharge through an inverted pantograph, which enables us to recharge at 350 kilowatts in 6 minutes. Benefits from that are not only the power spreading, but it enables us to reduce the size of the ESS, the batteries. By reducing the size, we reduce the weight, we reduce the stress on the bus structure. Keep in mind, a bus needs to, in most time, guarantee a life of 16 years, and some buses are used for 20 years. So the structure, when you overload the structure, you have a major problem. Second benefit is that you don't need to immobilize vehicles at night for a long period of time. So you are getting closer to continuous operation. And we are not talking about range anymore. We're talking about continuous operation. The infrastructure deployment remains the challenge then, because installing high power charger to the cities, it's a challenge, but we need to adapt to it. Some of the other challenges I would like to go in more details. The high voltage, that was when we started the project, a decision we had to take. Do we go 400 volts and less, or we go higher voltage and increase efficiency? Everybody understand, I guess, that the less current you carry, the more efficiency you gain. It enables us also to have high power components, high power propulsion system. The drawback is that the availability of higher voltage than 400 is limited. So a lot of components were developed within the Volvo family to address that. Electrical safety. I mentioned this is a core value from Volvo. Of course, if you're running 650 volts in a vehicle, that's a new challenge. People are used to work with 24 volts in buses. So mechanics, technicians, everybody needs to be aware it's a concern. But we have to take some measures to address that. For example, we're constantly monitoring current leaks in vehicles. And also, we intervene in case of such an event. HVIL, we have systems that travel through the bus, monitor if a door of electric components or a cable is disconnected, and then we intervene. We stop the high voltage. We never use chassis to carry current. So that's a new feature in buses. We have charging rails in the front. Those have to be isolated while not in use. So we have mechanism to protect technician and people from that. Drivetrain, powertrain. One decision we've took a long time ago is not to use a transmission. Why is that? We've noticed through experience, and thanks to our sister company in China, that a transmission is the weakest link in the powertrain. Also, we gain 3% of efficiency. It has a better reliability, of course, and we are reducing the drivetrain noises. Of course, we want to do almost everything to get this vehicle very silent. By definition or by default, it is, but since we don't hear a diesel engine, all other noise are starting to appear. So attention to details becomes important. What we are facing then is the limited offer of motors with high power and high torque. In our case, we got lucky enough. We have partnership in our project with TM4, a Quebec company, which is providing our motor. It's a high power, high torque motor, 9-phase permanent magnet motor, which fits exactly our needs for electrification. Battery technology. That seems to be the core of all electric vehicles. Our choices, of course, went to lithium-ion family, and we've chosen the iron phosphate chemistry. Why is that? I mean, within this family, I think it's safe, it's reliable, durability is good. Drawback, we need to maintain the battery in temperature. It doesn't like cold, doesn't like high temperature. So how do we handle that? We have developed active cooling system. So when it's too hot, we cool them actively. When it's too cold, we heat them. So we are able, through these systems, to guarantee a life of 6 years, full usage. Also the fact that we are using only a portion of the batteries to reduce the stress on the batteries. The project. We started, in fact, in 2010, looking at electrification of buses. That was a strong, let's say, will and strong commitment from Volvo and Novobus. In 2010, we were there at the APTA show in Louisiana to present our first full electric vehicle. But through the years, we have evolved to our technical solutions. For example, in 2012, we had a second prototype, which in this case have a lot of batteries, a lot of energy on board, and charging through an external high-power charger. So we did a lot of testing on that. But we found out there was simply too much energy to carry, and for the same reason I explained earlier, that was not the way to go. Then, in 2014, we have built this bus, and I guess some of you have seen it in Montreal City. We did a lot of testing and demonstration with it. It uses the propulsion system I just described. It also uses the high-power charging. And finally, in 2015, we have our pre-series. In fact, there's now two vehicles of that, which represents exactly what we're going to offer in 2016. So it has the reverse pantograph. One important feature about the reverse pantograph, why a reverse pantograph? Whole idea is pretty simple. We don't want to carry the weight of the pantograph on each bus. Second thing, it allows us to meet, to provide more clearance. The ground clearance on the street is important. You have trucks traveling on the street. If you have a pantograph installed on the bus, you have a constraint of height where it could reach the charging station. So the reverse pantograph enable us to have how much the clearance we want. The cost is also reduced, in fact, you see, also. The vehicle itself. The features. We decided to not to reinvent the wheel and start from a very reliable platform, the LFS. We have no interior modification, and that's a strong point about our vehicle. Customers can decide the seat layout, the arrangement they want inside. There's no batteries, there's no electronics. The interior remains exactly the same as an hybrid or a diesel bus. Very appreciated from our customers. Of course, no diesel engine. And since we have limited amount of energy on board, it provides us with the passenger capacity that it needs to have. It's reliable, it's durable. Crashworthiness of an LFS is outstanding. You're very safe inside an LFS. Same option as LFS, so remain with the same offer. ITS systems is used, of course. Passenger comfort, there's no transmission, there's no jerk. Very, very progressive acceleration. Strong, but very progressive. Continuous operation through fast charging. Typical distance between fast charges, 15 to 25 kilometers. Some people would say it's not much, but keep in mind what I just said. Charging time 6 minutes, and we, of course, talking about regenerative braking. So we electrify an LFS without losing what makes an LFS an LFS. Key features or technical specification, motors. We have 230 kilowatts of power, 2,700 newton meter of torque, 4 lithium ion batteries working in parallel, fast charging system, 350 kilowatts. We have the ability, the charger can provide up to 450. We also have the ability to slow charge at night. There's an onboard charger. Typical distance, like I said, 15 to 25 kilometers. So that will assure that whatever the conditions are, you are going to go the distance. What it looks like, you have the charging rails in the front. You have 2 batteries in the back, 2 batteries at the rooftop. Cooling system, active cooling system. Central motor, no gearbox. Pretty easy to build an electric bus. Charging system, if we go rapidly on that, the fast charge goes to 600 amps. Range from 500 volts DC to 750 volts. That provides us the ability to charge up to 450 kilowatts. Wi-Fi communication. There's no human intervention when we charge. We just park under the charging station. It is Wi-Fi recognized. There's a protocol for that. The driver just applied the parking brake and the charge starts. If the pantograph doesn't hit the bus, system will automatically retract. So there's safety system in there. Low power charging, I'll go briefly on that. We have a charger that enables to take 440 volts, go to an AVSC post, and then recharge at night. The reason for that, we need to calibrate the battery, reset the SOC level. As maybe you know lithium iron phosphate, the voltage level is not really in sync with the state of charge. So at one point, we need to reestablish the state of charge. So that's the purpose of that. And could be done in very few hours. City mobility, if I go quickly. This is what Volvo has deployed to the world. There's actually six projects. There's a project in Gothenburg, Stockholm, Hamburg, Luxembourg, and here in Montreal, which we call City Mobility. So those projects are dedicated to start electromobility and run tests through the entire world. How many minutes I have left? That's it? Okay. So basically, City Mobility, it was signed in 2013. It would be Line 36 in Square Victoria. There would be a high-power charging station. You would have a bus like this running, three buses running on that line. So we are going to have these buses in service next fall, 2016. So very interesting. Thank you very much for your participation.